Lord, we just thank you this morning, Lord, that you are our everything, Lord, that you are all we need, Lord, that you are enough, Lord, in our lives, Lord. Lord, we just ask and thank you for each and every one of these ones here this morning, Lord, that you would just bless them, Lord, and grow them close to you, Lord, in everything that they do, Lord. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this is our back to school, you know, Bear Sunday. Everyone should be excited. We're through the first 2 weeks of school. It's been a great first two weeks, and just thank the Lord for that. And I just want to recognize, you know, some of our groups that are here today. Where are our football boys? So y'all stand up for just a second. No, I don't want y'all raising your hands. Stand up. Stand up, Weston. Stand up, all of y'all. Our football boys, let's give them a hand up here up top. You know, how about our softball? Softball. Come on, man. We got a bunch of softball. Hey, come on, girls. Y'all stand up. So we have our softball girls here today. We have any band here today? Come on, band. Our band, stand up. You know, we just thank the Lord for our band and all they do to help bring us, you know, that spirit on Friday night. How about our cheerleaders? Yeah, our cheerleaders, stand up. So our cheerleaders, they help lead us, and we just thank them. You know, it's very encouraging because I do the announcing on Thursday and Friday nights to watch the cheerleaders getting the crowd involved in, you know, the game, and it was just so fun to watch that and watch our students grow each and every year. Huh? Yeah, well, baseball. Yeah. Do we have any baseball? We got baseball. Get up, y'all baseball boys. Yeah. Yeah. I thought most of them. Did y'all stand up there? Okay. But it's just a good day to have you here. You know, it's something we do, started doing, I guess, 2 years ago, and started, it might have been longer than that, doing the Bear Sunday, just to kind of help celebrate you. But more than we celebrate, you know, your accomplishments and just having a good year, what we are truly here to do is celebrate Jesus. And Jesus is the most important thing. And as that last song we sang, he should be everything to us. And whenever we look to Jesus, you know, as the author and the finisher of our faith, as the book of Hebrews says, you know, it should do something to our lives and think, man, God did that to me, and he is going to carry me through to the end if I walk with him and I talk with him all along the way. And I pray that you do that on a daily basis. And I know we can all get, you know, caught up and maybe get a little backslid, but it's time for us to refocus our efforts this morning, you know, on getting back to Jesus. Getting back to the basics of life is important. And that's something that we all need to do, including myself. We need to get back to the basics of our life. But this morning, I was just, you know, scrolling through trying to figure out, you know, what I was going to do today. You know, and I just really thought about, you know, back to school and about how we treat people. And this is something that is very important because we are Christians and we are set aside to be something different in this world in which we live in. We're not to act like the rest of the world. We're to be like Jesus. And we can see what Jesus did as an example in his word throughout the Gospels. We can see that. And we can see that today in the book of Luke, chapter 19. So if you'll turn, take your Bibles, you know, take your phones out. We're not at school, guys. Y'all can take your phones out. You can go open up to your app, and you can look at your phone and see what you got. Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Y'all there? Shake your head and, you know, do something. Do something. Give me a signal. You're there? Or are you alive? That's what I want to know. Are you alive? I'm alive forevermore. Guess what? On June, I'm going to start dating myself a little bit. But on June of 1990, I entered into eternity because that's the day that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I, from that point on, I will live for eternity because I am Jesus's, and he is mine. And that's a big question that you can guide. A lot of people say, well, I have Jesus. The question is, does Jesus have you? Does Jesus have you? Does he control your life? And that's something we need to look at, you know, whenever we're walking through our daily lives and looking how we treat people and how we interact with those around us. And it kind of tells us what's going on in our life. It kind of tells us what's in our hearts. And that's something that's important. What I say here quite often, you know, is what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. What's down in your heart will come out in your words. It'll come out in your actions, in your life. And it's not whenever you're at church on Sunday, because, you know, we're all in our best behavior on church on Sunday. But how about on Monday, you know, after lunch, whenever we done got tired, or we're on Thursday and we're wore out and we think, man, you know, I'm just ready for this week to be over with. How are we treating people at that point in our life? So that's something that we need to think about, and think about that God was treating people even whenever they were hanging him on the cross of Calvary. He looked down at them and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was treating them with love. We see the man that was on the cross, you know, beside him. And, you know, at the first, you know, he was scorning Jesus. He was telling him how bad he was. Look at this man. You know, he must be a sinner. And all these things. And by the end, he recognized that he was the Son of God. And he knew there was something different about him. And what did Jesus tell him? Well, since you were scorning me a while ago, you know, I'm not going to be letting you go to heaven. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. No, he says that you will be with me in paradise one day, because he came to know Jesus, and Jesus loved him. And I tell you who else Jesus loved with the other man on the cross too. And this morning I would tell you that Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. That he loves you so much that it tells us, you know, in God's word, that he demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you that much that he was willing to die for you before you were ever born. He was willing to. And he was willing to die for this guy named Zacchaeus. You ever heard of Zacchaeus? Y'all know the little song, Zacchaeus song? I think anyone went to church camp with us this year, and I think Brother Michael had them, or someone had them try to sing the Zacchaeus song or something, bring someone up. I remember that from that, so I think someone went up there. I don't think it was any of our guys. But Jesus was interacting with a guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a short man that was wanting to see Jesus. And he was a tax collector. And as this tax collector, you know, they were not seen favorably among other Jews and people, Jewish people, because they collected their taxes. And some of them were crooks. Some of them would go and they would collect more and more and more from people because they were allowed to do that, more than what was even owed. And that's who Zacchaeus was this one of these tax collectors, and he was a chief one. It says, starting in verse 1, it says, when Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. We don't use that word very often, you know, here in our schools, haste. But hurry up, what he was talking about. So he's talking about, you know, hey, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he came in haste and came down and delivered him joyfully, or received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Now Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I will give half my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to your house, because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So we see this passage this morning, you know, of who Zacchaeus was, who Jesus was, and who the other people were. There are going to always be naysayers out there. There are always going to be people talking about you behind your back, looking at you saying, "Well, look what they done. You know, hey, they're hanging out with them people. Hey, they're hanging out with them people." And in doing that, you know, they're just showing that they're not showing the true love of Jesus Christ like Jesus Christ was doing. Because Jesus Christ, you know, number one, he was acknowledged or had acknowledgement of worth. I will tell you that you this morning sitting here in the sound of my voice, and anyone that will hear this, maybe on Facebook later whenever we post it, anyone here will or is worth, has worth. We all have worth. You know, the world can tell you, "Well, you're not worthy. You're not worth anything. You know, you're no good, you know, because you may have something, you know, in your life, man." That is nothing to do with who you are, of what you have. And I'll tell you, that means if you're the richest person or you're the poorest person, there is one thing that is equal at the foot of the cross, and that is all of us, that we are all sinners in need of salvation. And money can't buy it. Only Jesus Christ can give it. And we need to recognize that in our lives. So we need to have the acknowledgement of worth in other people's life. And whenever we acknowledge their worth or recognize their individual value, everyone has unique gifts and talents. Everyone has something that God has given them that they are talented and good at. I will tell you that I couldn't play an instrument. You know, I can play the radio all right, but sometimes I even mess that up. I can't play an instrument. I wish I could. Boy, I wish I could sit down at that piano and just hit them keys and just make it sound so beautiful, or play a guitar and just make it sound so good. I wish I could, but I can't. You know, and there are other people. You know, there are people sitting here today that are very talented musically, and they're just great at that, but you know, I wasn't. So that means that my worth is not as good as someone else's worth? No. It's not the ability or the certain ability that we have, it's who we are in Christ Jesus, because we get our birth from our Creator, the one who breathed life into us. So we need to recognize individuals, because all individuals, all people are created in the image of God. And since we are created in His image, we have value. We have unique gifts and talents. What if everyone had the same talent? It would be pretty boring, wouldn't it? God, He was the master of all this. He was the master one that created all of these different talents, so different people have different talents. So whenever we're out at a football game or a baseball game, or we're out, you know, at a basketball game, or we're in track or whatever it is, you know, you have all these different competitions. And in track, you know, and we say, man, if I could just run 100 meters, you know, I would be awesome. I don't know if I can even run 100 meters right now. I probably could. I could jog 100 meters. But think, how about the person throwing the shot put? I have to add that in there, because that's what I did in high school. I threw the shot put. Or the one throwing the discus. It takes great talent to throw a discus. Anyone here throw the discus? Good for you. I was scared I would hit somebody. I said I was going to let that thing go too fast, that discus go, and I was going to take someone out. And it wasn't going to be pretty. So I was always scared of the discus. I tried to throw it some when no one was around. But it was just, you know, it takes different people. So do you get a score for throwing a shot? If you place, do you get a score? Yes. Do you get a score for running 100 meter if you place? Yes. Guess what? You get the same score. So which one has the most value? Neither one. They're both of equal value. And that's how we are in our life. And I just think about it, you know, if I'm sitting up there in the stands, you know, at a football or in the press box at a football game and I'm watching the game, you know, and I'm watching the football players, they got talents out there. You know, I'm watching the cheerleaders, they got talents out there. I'm listening to the band, they got talents out there. You know, you see all these different talents that are being brought together in one, you know, to bring glory to God. And I pray that's why we're doing what we're doing in our life. And I know, you know, our softball girls, they're so good about, you know, Bible studies and learning about the Lord, you know, and it's just so good to see that, you know, and it's what we do. And Miss Kim, she tells us quite often, because I watch it, I listen to stuff, and I'm not trying to call Miss Kim out, huh? Oh, Miss, what does Miss Kim do? She teaches these girls to love the Lord and to love each other. And that's what we all should do. Because in the end, guess what? Football, softball, band, track, cheerleading will end one day. But there's one thing that will continue, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we should acknowledge, you know, the wealth that we have from Him, the importance of being beyond, you know, or seeing beyond appearances. Well, they don't look like me or they don't act like me, so I won't have anything to do with them. Folks, that is not what Jesus did. Jesus did something completely different. You know, with Zacchaeus, you know, he loved Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was everything against what a Jew thought a Christian or a person of God would be. He was totally opposite of that. But Jesus saw something in him. And Jesus called him out from that sycamore tree and called him down and said, "Hey, I'm going to eat at your house tonight. I'm going to come stay with you tonight," because Jesus seen the worth in Zacchaeus. So as we go through the halls, you know, in our schools, you know, as we go through them halls and we see people, us don't hold our head up, you know, against them or hold our nose up and say, "Well, they're different from us." You know, hey, let's look at them for who they are as a child of God. And let's say, "God, thank you for me being able to know them. For them being able to be a part of my life because they are important." We need to embrace, you know, diversity. You know, within our school, we are all different. And I'm not talking black and white. I'm talking different personalities. We need to be inclusive with one another. We are one in God's family. There is neither slave nor free, no black, no white, no Greek, no Gentile. There is nothing but children of God. And that is who we are, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Folks, and that's the way we need to look at people. Folks, they belong to our family. We need to embrace this by welcoming different backgrounds and experiences into our life. Guess what? You may get to know something different than you didn't know before. You may get to know something that there is something very interesting about their family, you know, about how they do things, and it grows you as a person. So don't write people off, because everyone needs a chance. Everyone needs to be able to be loved, to be included. Because a lot of times that's the struggle with a lot of mental health issues today within our schools, you know, is people not being included, being excluded from those around them. So, you know, a kind word, a smile can do something to someone's life. Give them a smile. Give them a kind word. you know, whenever you walk by them, hey, how are you doing today? Man, I like that. I like that shirt you got on. Hey, I like them shoes you got on. You know, I like to pick at them kids because a lot of them kids walk around like this right here at our school, you know. Don't want to be creasing them shoes. You know, they got to get there. You know, who was it that I seen the other day? Harley, what are they looking at you for? Is that Harley? Gabby probably got somewhere for her birthday today, didn't she? Oh, Gabby's birthday's today. So we see that, you know, down our school, and I like to pick with them, you know, on it. You know, hey, man, what you trying to do, man? That ain't going to last forever. You know, you can't walk like this. It's going to hurt your back or your legs or something walking like this all the time. You know, but we need to be inclusive, and we need to include people in and just have a kind word, learning from one another. Because someone has some knowledge that you don't. And they would love to talk to you. We need to show number two, like in verse 8 here, it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have done taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore it threefold. You know, we need to have acts of kindness, demonstrating generosity to those around us, because there are people in our schools that do not have as much as other people. There are people in our schools that do not have as much as other people, so we should not look at them in any different way. We should love them, and we should do everything we can to help them in their life. And that's something that is critical, you know, that is what the church is called to do. And you know that this building right here that we're sitting in, you know this building right here, is not the church. You know who the church is? You are. You are the church. You are the family of God. You are the called out one, the ecclesia, you know, in the Greek, the called out ones that are called out for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve and to love Jesus and to demonstrate generosity, help others who are in need. You say, well, you know, I need some, I mean, we got a lot of students here. Man, I need some volunteer hours. How many of y'all need some volunteer hours? Oh, I got you an opportunity to help somebody. We just had it, Miss Reetha. Where's Miss Reetha? Where'd Miss Reetha go? She went. Oh, she got the little ones. And others in here, you know that they had the food pantry, you know, on the fourth Saturday morning of each month. Guess what? You can help and get volunteer hours. Man, that's a great opportunity, you know, that you have, that you can help and you can see and give of yourself to help others. You know, sharing in resources and time, because it's not always money. A lot of times it's just time. People need time spent with them. Someone to love on them. Someone to care for them and make a difference within their life. And we need to encourage, you know, recognition among peers. You know, you have your peers at school and they look at you and think, you know, oh, they don't like me. They can't, you know, we don't fit in with them. It's not about, you know, you fitting in. It's about being a child of God and being delivered into a different place, that we are a part of one family, and that is the family that Jesus has created. And we need to have authentic relationships. Don't be fake. You know, that's what lost people do. They want to be fake about stuff like that. They want to be fake. Well, I'll pretend to be their friend. And Christians are to be their friend, because we have a different heart inside of us. We have a different heart that desires for people to be saved, desires for people to have that family relationship together. We need to build trust with others. That goes with not going behind people's back. That's by having people's back, by doing stuff, you know, with them. That includes all of these different things, you know, that we have in our life. Be the friend that you want them to, or you want to be to them. So have them be the friend that you want to be to them. So be, act like you want someone else, how you want someone else to be, to treat you. I'll spit it out in a second. Act like you want someone else to treat you. Sometimes we get in our life and we treat people in a way that is not very nice. And whenever we do that, we say, well, I don't know why they treat me. They started treating me that way. Let's make sure we treat people with kindness. Build trust. Being honest and transparent, you know, with intentions in our life. Intentions to build these relationships. Following through on commitments. Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? If you say you're going to do something, do it. You know, that Jesus always followed through with his commitments, and we are to do that also. You know, and this is fostering community by building this authentic relationship, you know, creating a supportive environment around us and encouraging in collaboration, you know, activities and projects. Be inclusive. Include others. And I love this, what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. You know, he came down, he ate with him. Other people tried to ridicule Jesus for doing it, and Jesus did it anyway because that's what Jesus was supposed to do. Don't worry about what other people in the school are saying about you if you're following Jesus. Because it's all, what I always say, it sounds like they need a little Jesus in their life. Follow what Jesus has for you to do. And when you do that, folks, you will be a difference maker. Who in here wants to be a difference maker? I pray that you all want to be a difference maker in this world in which we live in. And the best way to be a difference maker is to be with Jesus, to live for Him, to share the gospel with your friends, to share love with your friends. Whenever we do that, folks, it'll transform you, but it'll also transform them. It's called discipleship. Love people around you. Zacchaeus, I could imagine how Zacchaeus felt. And I recognize something in this passage that I don't see, you know, in our, you know, that I didn't put in my notes is, when Zacchaeus met Jesus, it caused him to be different. What did it cause him to do as a tax collector? I will give half my goods to the poor, and if I have done anyone wrong or misrepresented myself to anyone, I will return it fourfold. So when he met Jesus, it transformed his life. And I will tell you today, if you meet Jesus, you're going to leave either transformed or you're going to leave bitter. Because Jesus is going to love on you. And either you're going to run from him or you're going to run to him. And if you run from him, it's going to cause you to be bitter in your life. Anyone like to be bitter? I hope not. I hope you all want to be joyful this morning. I hope you want to and desire to have that relationship with Jesus Christ that grows you closer to one another. So back to school this morning, I would say love one another. Treat people the way that you want to be treated. We all hear the golden rule. It's actually Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount teaching. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Treat people the way that you want to be treated, folks, and it'll make a difference. Because the way that I see it, and the way that it's happened in my life, is whenever we surrender to the Lord and we start treating others how we want people to treat us, when people do treat us bad, we don't let it worry us. Because our eyes are focused on Jesus. Our eyes are focused on treating others right, doing unto others how we want to be treated. And I pray that that's you this morning, and I pray that you have received Jesus Christ, that you treat people different, in this world that we live in. And that more than goes for in the hallways at our school. Might get a little touchy here, but that also goes with posts on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever other ones out there now. It goes with all of them. I always like to tell students, you know, if you post something, would you want your grandmother to read that? No. Then you probably shouldn't have posted it. So we need to make sure that we are loving others, treating others with kindness, with respect, and with love, showing them who Jesus Christ is. If we'll stand this morning for a time of invitation, you may just want to come and just kneel at the altar and just give it to the Lord this morning. You may have been struggling in areas of your life, or you may not be struggling. You just want to pray for others and pray for this school year that we have coming, or that we have that we're in right now. And the name of this song is Come, Jesus, Come. And there may be some this morning that do not know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. That's not meaning that they don't know who Jesus is, because we live in the Bible Belt. Majority of people know who Jesus is. It's not enough just to know who Jesus is. We need to give our lives to Him. We need to put our faith in Him as our Lord and our Savior. I pray that you do that. So we'll pray and then we'll have a song and the altars will be open. Lord, we just come before you this morning just thanking you for all that you have done for us, Lord. Be with each and every person in Jesus' name. Amen.